Let's open in prayer this morning. Father, we do want to thank you for your great love. Lord, it just can't be measured. We can talk about it. We can experience it. But still, to realize the depth of your love, we can't do it. But Lord, we do thank you and recognize that you love us today and you love us every day, every minute, every hour. And we just praise you for being our God. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here together this morning. We thank you for Fellowship Baptist Church. And we thank you, Lord, for all those that love you and cared enough to come out this morning. We thank you for those on Facebook, Lord, that are have tuned in this morning, Lord, and just blessings on their lives, Father. And, Lord, we're looking forward to the day when we see this church full again. We're able to have nursery. We're able to have Sunday school. And, Lord, we know that's coming. And Lord, you hold the keys to everything. And we just want to acknowledge that and recognize that we just need to lean on you and trust in you with all of our heart. Lord, we ask blessings on the service this morning. We ask blessings on our speaker. Lord, just let us glean from your word today that which you have for us. For it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Sure.
thank you, ladies, for that. Songs are a blessing. A lot of us just listen to the music, but you know the words. You gotta let those words sink in because it's just like a message. Each song is a message, and so we need to listen to the words of those songs. Well, it's time for the main event. Yay! And in this corner, since I'm up here, you probably figured out that Josh is not here this morning. He's not hiding in the back and going to surprise you, but he called me up Friday evening as he was heading, he and his family, except for Silas, was heading somewhere out of town for the weekend, and I didn't even ask him where he was going, but he said he was on 77 going up the mountain, so I'm assuming somewhere north. But anyway, we wish him well and pray for a safe return for them. And anyway, he asked if I'd open up the service, and I said, sure will. And I said, well, who's going to be speaking for us? And he kept it in the family. He got a speaker that's in the family. It happened to be his dad, Dwight. And we are tickled to death to have Dwight and Teresa with us this morning. And Dwight's going to be bringing the message and just respond to him just like he would Josh. I'm sure he enjoys amens and hallelujahs and praise the Lord's. So we're tickled to death to have Dwight and Teresa with us this morning. And we're going to ask Dwight to come forward and to bring the message of the hour and give him your full attention. And like I say, if you feel like you need to say amen, I'm sure it won't scare him at all. Thank you, Dwight.
It's a privilege to be here this morning. Trust that you came this morning praying for me and looking for a message from the Word of God, because you'll find that that's all I know how to do is give the Word of God out when I'm in the pulpit. And I listen to your pastor often on YouTube or Facebook, and I know that's what he does. And nothing makes me more proud of him than that. I tell Teresa, our boys preach the word, and that's what matters to me. And nothing, he could get up here and make you laugh and make you cry and make you do a lot of things. But if he'll give you the word of God, then that makes me proud of him. It is good to see each and every one of you this morning. And those of you that are joining in by Facebook or whatever means you may be joining us, I trust that the message will be a help and a blessing to you. Tom mentioned that you could say amen or praise the Lord, but it may not be that type of message. I hope that it'd be a help. I know that it's Valentine's Day, and it should be a message, or you'd think it'd be a message on love, but that's not the way God led me this morning. And I found out there's no hope for most of us anyway, most of you. I preached one time at the church, and I was preaching on the family, and I was telling the church what the Bible says about how we're to love our spouse and how we're supposed to, love them and show our love. And I said, you know, guys, I said, once in a while, sing to her. And I told them, I said, I'm not a good singer, but my wife likes for me to sing to her. And so a week or so later, one of the guys came in and he said, preacher, I tried what you said, and I tried to sing a song to my wife, and he said it just didn't seem to work. And I said, well, what did you sing? And of course, he's a sports addict almost, but loves sports. He said, I didn't know anything but take me out to the ball game. And I said, no, that's not going to work. So I found out there's just no hope for some of us on Valentine's Day. But God led my heart in a different direction, and I'm sure that Joshua has done the same thing. I know that he's like me. If God gives me a message on that particular day, that particular occasion, then I'll preach it. But if not, I'm going to preach what God has put on my heart for that particular day. I trust, again, that the message will be a help to you. I told someone one thing good about Joshua being away and me preaching. Next Sunday, you will throw your arms around his neck and tell him how much you love him and how much it is to have him back. This morning, I'm going to begin in the book of Job, chapter 23. And if you have your Bibles or your devices or whatever you read the Word of God from, we'll be in Job chapter 23. And I want to begin reading with the first 10 verses. Job chapter 23, verse 1 says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seed. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.'" If you know anything about the book of Job and the story of Job in the Bible, of course you know that Job, the Bible tells us in verse 1 of this book, it tells us that Job was a perfect and upright man, a man that escheweth evil, which in our language today, he was a good Christian man. He was a man that loved God, a perfect man in his generation. The Bible didn't say he was perfect, but it tells us that he was perfect in his generation. And of course, if you know the story, what the Bible says about Job, the Bible tells us, of course, Job loses everything. He has a lot and loses everything. He loses his family. He loses his health. He loses his wealth. He loses everything that he has. And he's sitting somewhere, the Bible tells us, that he's covered with boils. And as those boils have covered his body, the Bible says he takes a potsherd and scrapes those boils. And sitting in ashes, he could be in no worse shape. And the Bible tells us that later his friends come and they began to ask Job, "Job, what have you done? What has taken place that God would allow such a thing to happen in your life?" And the Scripture tells us that as they began to ask these questions, the Bible tells us that Job is a man that trusts God. Job is the man that when he loses everything, he says, "The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But the Bible also tells us, and we see in this Scripture, but Job really still just didn't understand what was taking place. He just didn't understand. I want to bring a message this morning, "If I could just understand." If I could just understand. My, how many people have said to me over the years, being a pastor ever since I was 21 years old, how many people have said to me, "Preacher, I just don't understand." The Scripture tells us, if you'll look with me, back with me at verse 5, Paul has said, Job has said to one of his friends, he said, "If I could talk to the Lord." He's saying, "I don't seem to be able to feel him or find him." And in verse 5 he said, "If I could find him, if I could come before him," he said, "I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." If he said, if I could just come before him, then I would understand why these things is taking place, what has happened in my body. But folks, I want to say unto you, how many times do we say, "If I could just understand, if I could just know why these things have happened in my life?" And the Scripture tells us that Job was asking that question, "If I could just understand," even though he trusted God, if he could just understand. There are some people that will die and go to hell because they won't come to God until they understand why God did whatever he did in their lives. I don't understand why we're still dealing with this coronavirus. I don't understand why it came in the first place, but I don't understand. Sometimes I would say to God, if I could say anything, "God, I realize now We didn't appreciate being able to come to church together like we ought to have appreciated it. We didn't appreciate being able to shake hands and love on one another like we should. I would say, Lord, we get it now. We didn't appreciate being able to get in the choir and sing and do all the things. We didn't appreciate it, but God, I get it now. But I don't understand why after we've prayed, it don't go away. I want to say unto you, sometimes I don't understand God. I don't understand what's taking place. I've been called to the hospital, and some mom or dad is standing there, and their child has just been taken out in an accident, and they're looking to me for an answer. And I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer why it's just taken place. Maybe a child that was being raised in a loving home, being brought up to be an effective member and a productive member of society, and all of a sudden they're gone. And they're wanting an answer. And I don't have that answer. I want to say unto you, sometimes I just don't understand. Can I get a witness that some of you would probably say, sometimes I just don't understand what God's doing. I don't understand what God's letting happen in my life. I want to say unto you, Job felt that same thing, and maybe you're one of those people that are sitting in this room. Maybe you're listening on Facebook, and you're one of those people that you're not serving God like you once served Him because God allowed something in your life, and you can't understand why He allowed it. Maybe you're that person that's listening to me or sitting in this room that maybe you've never come to Christ, and the reason you won't come to Christ is God allowed something in your life. That mom, that dad, maybe that passed away, maybe some young person, some tragedy in your life, and you just don't understand, and you're not going to come to God until you understand. You know what amazes me? It amazes me that some people, their darling child, their darling baby or whatever, may have passed away, and they won't come to God because they don't understand why God would allow such a thing. We don't understand why the hospitals sometimes are full of cancer patients with little children in them. I don't understand that. I don't understand sometimes. Maybe you're sitting home to this morning, or maybe you're in this room and you're saying, well, God let a tragedy take place in my life. And my loved one went on to heaven. And I just can't serve Him because I don't understand. What amazes me is you're going to let your misunderstanding of God keep you from ever seeing Him again. Let me say unto you how important it is that we get some type of understanding. With just a few moments, I want to take this time and talk to you about three things that may help you and might help us to understand. I can't give all the answers, but I want some understanding. We want some understanding. How can I understand? How can I understand enough to go back to serving God like I ought to serve Him? But tragedy struck. My spouse left. My home broke up. And I can't serve God anymore. It seems like I can't get there. Let me give you three things that maybe can help us. First of all, we need to recognize the ways of God. We need to recognize the ways of God. You don't understand God? Do you know that if you could understand everything about God and you knew everything about God, then He wouldn't be God. God is God because we don't understand all His ways. He's so much greater than us. He sees so much and knows so much more than us. And I'm not going to always understand Him. So I want to say unto you, first of all, we must recognize the ways of God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. First of all, we have to realize God is in control. My goings is of the Lord. I'm not doing this. I didn't get up on my own this morning. I didn't make it through last night on my own. I'm not walking around up here on my own. It's God that gives us the strength. It's God that's directing our paths. I didn't make it here this morning safely on my own, but God protected us and looked after us. So our goings are not of our own. That's what the first part of that verse tells us. But notice the second part. How can a man then understand his own way? How can you figure out your own life when you're not in charge? God's in charge. Look with me, if you will, at the book of Hosea, chapter 14 and verse 9. He tells us how we can get through this. He don't give us all the answers. He don't have to give me all the answers. He's God and I'm not. He's in charge and I'm not. But the Bible tells me how I can be wise and how you can be wise. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9, "Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right." We have to understand His ways. And we have to come to the place that we know that the ways of the Lord are right. There's a member of Fancy Gap Church. It's hard for me because some of you know my life has changed. My direction has changed. God's put me in a different direction. But there's a member of Fancy Gap Church that this lady loves the Lord. She loves Him. Their family loved Him. Not long ago, I was called to the hospital, and her only son had been killed in an accident. And I didn't have the answers. She needed an answer, but I couldn't give her an answer. Not long after that, or just a little while back, her husband that she'd loved from, they were childhood sweethearts, passed away with cancer. But you know what amazes me about her? You say, "Well, preacher, how can this be good? How can God's ways be right?" This lady's heart was broken, no doubt. But I want to say unto you the thing about this lady, she still goes around and says, "God knows what He's doing." And what a witness it is to those that have gone through the same things. You see, the Bible says that the wise person will say, "For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them." The just shall walk in Him. We just come to the place that we just say, "God's ways is right. I don't understand it. I may not even like it at the moment, but the ways of the Lord are right." I want to say unto you, maybe you're here today, and I believe that every message that God lays on my heart is for somebody. Most of them are for me, but there's maybe somebody here today. Maybe somebody on Facebook that's going to listen to this that you just don't understand what God has done, and you're bitter about it. I want to say unto you that you'll never get any understanding in your heart until you come to the place that you just say, "The ways of the Lord are right, and I'm going to walk in them. I'm just going to walk in them. I may not understand them, but I'm going to walk in them." Because if you don't, that next part of that verse says, "But the transgressors shall fall therein." You'll either walk in the ways of the Lord, or you'll fall in those same ways. Because He allowed something you didn't like, because He knew more than you did, He let something happen in your life, and you're falling in what God has done. Well, let me tell you, God is God. He knows what's right. And you can be mad from now on. You can be hurt. And I know we do get hurt. But you can from now on. He's still going to be on the throne. He's still going to be God. And He's still going to do what's right. So we're either going to walk in His ways, or we're going to fall in His ways. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 tells us, "The fear is of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Just knowing His ways, we begin to understand. We may not have all the answers, but we begin to understand. You find peace in what you're going through. The Bible tells us that's how we understand everything that's around us. How do you know how this world got here? How do you know when your teacher, your professor, or somebody around you, the world says, "Well, you got here by a little something that was crawling on the ground out of a swamp, crawled up in a tree, broke his tail off, fell on the ground and said, 'Thank God I'm a man.'" How do you know that? How do we know? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." We understand that by the Word of God. "So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." First of all, we just need to recognize His ways. But second of all, and there's just three, We need to trust in His Word. Not only recognize His ways, but we're just going to have to trust His Word. We're going to have to trust what the Bible says about Him. The Bible tells us in His Word we can find understanding. The Bible, David says it like this in Psalms, and of course Psalms 119 is that whole chapter, the longest chapter in all of God's Word, but some people say that it's almost, and it is almost, well, I've never measured it to see if it's in the very middle of the Bible or not, but it's very close. Psalms 119 is very close to the very middle of the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible, but that whole chapter is about the Word of God. It either talks about His precepts, His judgments, His testimonies. The whole thing is about the Word of God. And this is what it tells us in Psalms 119, verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The Bible says, I understand more than those around me. I can trust and walk and smile and have confidence in a strange world because of the Word of God. Because of the Word of God. Because tragedy may happen. Because of things I don't understand happens, I can still look up to God, keep walking, keep trusting in Him, because the Word of God tells me that He's in control. Because of the Word of God, I can smile in the midst of tragedy. I can praise Him after the worst has happened. Somewhere down the line, I can find a place to continue to praise Him because of the Word of God. The next verse, verse 100, says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I understand even those who are older. I mean, I've seen some older. I'm not old yet. I'm still young. Joshua's getting older, but I'm still young. But I understand. I've seen some bitter old people because they didn't understand something about the Word of God. But I met other older people that just love Jesus, keep going on. They don't age because they trust the Word of God and they know that everything's going to be all right. I want to say unto you, we have to come to the place that we know the ways of God. We understand the ways of God, and also that we look into the Word of God. The Bible tells us again in Psalms 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Do I get all the answers? I don't. A lot of my things I don't understand has never been answered. But through the Word of God, through the precepts of God's Word, I get understanding. I mean, I can just go on. It don't haunt me. It's not that controls my life, because I get understanding through the Word of God. Psalms 119 and verse 130, and I'll move on. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It gives understanding, the Word of God. So folks, I want to say unto you, we have to come to the place that we'll hear the Word of God. Then we get understanding. Thirdly and last of all, we have to respect the wisdom of God. And I've talked about that some. I have to respect His wisdom, that He knows more than I do. He knows the future better than I do. He knows what was going to happen in my future more than I do. He knows what might have happened in the future of that person that He took on to heaven. He just knows more than I do, and I have to respect that God knows more than me. I'm not God, and He is. The Bible tells us, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He don't faint, He don't get weary, and I'll never understand Him. I'll never understand Him, because He's an all-knowing God. And He knows my future. He knows what's happening tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow in your lives and in my family's life. And oh, that things could take place, that my heart would be broken. Things that take place that I know that I'd be somewhere on my knees weeping tears. And I'd be saying to God, God, I just don't understand. But somewhere the only way that I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to go on and keep preaching and keep witnessing and keep preaching with power. It's the only way I'm going to be able to do that is when I come to God and I say, God, but you know so much more than I do. And I don't understand all your ways, but I know what your word says. And I trust your wisdom. I'm going to trust your wisdom, and I'm going to keep going on, and I'm going to keep serving you, and I'm going to keep saying that God is good, no matter what, because of your wisdom. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, if you're discouraged, maybe you become bitter. You're a Christian, but things has happened in your home, your marriage, your life, with your family, with your job, and you become bitter, and you quit serving God, you quit trusting God, you won't get saved because of these things. How do I correct that? I think Isaiah chapter 55 verse 7 and 8 gives you a good answer. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It says, forsake your ways, the way you're thinking, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Notice verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The Bible says, just return unto him. Return unto him. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. We have to respect the wisdom of God. He don't think like us, and we sure don't think like him. I find myself many times thinking right the opposite of what I know God would have me thinking. So folks, again, I want to say unto you, we have to respect the wisdom of God. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 is a favorite verse of the day. A lot of people pay attention to that verse. But there's something we have to understand about God, and that's his wisdom. Jeremiah 29, 11, God says to us, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Bible says, God says, my thoughts are good to you, no matter what. And you might say, preacher, the things that's happened in my life, I don't know how they could be for good. But I want to say unto you, God promises you and I in that verse that his thoughts are good for us. His intentions are good for us. No matter what's taking place in our life, no matter what took place in the past, you may never know until you get to heaven. Somebody says when we get to heaven, we won't care. And that may be, well, it'd be so wonderful up there, we won't care about all these things. But if not, when you get to heaven, you may understand. You may never understand down here. But when we get to heaven, we're going to understand. When we see God and we see the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, we're going to understand and realize like we've never realized before that his thoughts were always good for us. What he was doing was always right. That his ways wasn't our ways. But his word was true. And his wisdom was so much farther than ours. We don't always know what's going to take place in our lives. We don't know why things have taken place. And we wish we'd know. We wish we knew all these things. We want to know sometimes. I don't know all these things. I'm sort of like the man in the book of John chapter 9, and I didn't give these scriptures to the guys up in the sound booth. But in John chapter 9, a lot of you will recognize what the scripture says there. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples are, as they go along, they come upon a man that was born blind. You remember the story. The Bible tells us the disciples ask, Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents when he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents has sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest. The scripture tells us that's the time that Jesus spits on the ground and makes clay of the spittle and puts on the man's eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and the scripture says he came seeing. Now, when he comes seeing, there's a lot of things that this man didn't understand. He didn't have all the answers. You'll see that. You can see that in Scripture. You can go back home and read the whole chapter, but you'll find that there's a lot of things this man didn't understand. There's a lot of things he didn't know. He just met the Savior. The Bible tells us when he comes back seeing, the Pharisees began to question him. They asked him things like this in John 9:12. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They said, we want to know where this Jesus is. We want to know where this one is that's healed you. They said, where is he? He said, that's something I don't know. He said, I know not. They go to his parents. They said, is this your son that was born blind? And how is it that he can see now? The Bible tells us in John 9:20, his parents answered them and said, we know not. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. They said, we don't know how he sees. The man said, I don't know where he's at. They said, we don't know how he sees. There's a lot they didn't know at the time. There's a lot in this life we just don't know, do we? We don't know why this coronavirus come. We may have our opinion, but we don't know. We don't know why it won't go away, why we're still dealing. We don't know why tragedies are taking place. We don't have the answers. The pastor don't have the answers. Nobody else does. Lots that we don't know. The parents said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. They said, we don't even know who, the lot that wasn't known. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. John chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. This man, again, at this point, if you read the whole chapter, you'll find that he did come to Christ. He did get saved. But at this point, the Bible says he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. He said, that's another thing I don't know. But he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand who he is. I don't understand where he's at. His family said, we don't know who he was. What he did, we don't know. But this man said, one thing I do know. I was blind, and now I see. And I want to say unto you, I don't understand a lot of things that goes on in life. I don't understand a lot of things that happens in this life. I don't understand why God does certain things. One thing I know. I once was lost, and now I'm found. One thing I know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know a lot of things, but I can always come back to one thing and say, God, one thing I know. I don't understand why you did this, and I don't understand why you allow this, but God, I'm just going to trust your ways. I'm going to just trust your word. I'm going to just trust your wisdom. But God, one thing I know, that you love me with a great, great love because you sent your son to die on a cross that I might have eternal life, that I wouldn't go to hell, but I'd go to heaven. One thing I know, God, that you done something for me that nobody else would do. You let your son die on a cross for me. God, I don't even understand that. You talk about not understanding something. I don't understand how God could love a creature like me like he loves me. I don't understand why God would allow him to have come and died on the cross for just me. You say, preacher, he died for the whole world, but he died for me. That whosoever, why he let his son die that I could go to heaven. I don't understand how God could love me that much, but I know he did. I know that God's word tells me. You see, what I say unto you, whoever you are, maybe you're not serving God like you once served him because you don't understand. Maybe you won't come to God and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you don't understand. Let me ask you to do something. Go on what you do know. Go on what you do know. You may not know all the answers. I don't know all the answers, but I know one thing. They something, I can't answer your questions about why God did this and why God allowed this. I can't always answer that question. I can tell you that his ways is not our ways. We got to trust his ways. I can tell you that we have to trust his word. His word will not return void. His word is always right. I can say trust his word. I can tell you lean on his wisdom because his wisdom is so much greater than your wisdom. But I can't answer all your questions. But one thing I know, the Bible says that if you, whoever you are, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I can answer that one. You want to know, preacher, how can I go to heaven? How can I stay out of hell? What can I do? I can give you the answer. I can give you the answer right out of God's word. I can tell you something else that I know. I don't understand why things take place like they do. I'm sure these things that have happened in my life and will happen in my life that I'll just say, God, I just don't know the answer. I don't understand. There's something else I know, because I know what the Word of God says. We know that all things work to the good of them that love the Lord. I know that. I lean on that because the Word of God says it. I want to say unto you, if you're here today, you want to get right with God. The other week, someone mentioned to me that, and it never come to my mind like that. I've been preaching the Word ever since I was 21, had it preached to me all my life, pretty much. It never came to me like that. And I don't say you should do that, but it came to me in a way that I'd never thought about it. Someone come and mentioned that they needed praying for that they'd get right with God. And that's a good reason to pray. But you know what I thought about would be a good answer if you came to me and said, preacher, pray for me that I'll get right with God. It'd probably surprise you if I said, I'm not going to pray for you. You'd probably say, why, preacher? Why won't you pray for me that I get right with God? Because you're not ready to get right with God. Why should I pray for you to get right with God? God's Word told you how to get right with God. All you have to do is turn around, come to Him, repent, come to Him, rededicate your life. Pray for me that I'll get right with God. What you're really saying is pray for me that the things that I'm not willing to do and the things that I'm not willing to give up, that eventually I'll be willing. But if you want to get right with God, all you have to do is come back to God, return to God, and say to God, God, I know that I mess up. God, I know that I need you. And you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, you don't have to pray for me that I'll get right with God. All I have to do is get ready to get right with God. If you're here today and you're lost, I'm praying that you'll get saved, but you'll never get saved until you come to Him realizing His great ways is far beyond your ways. His Word is always right, and that His wisdom is so much greater than yours. One of the greatest things, and I'm going to close, one of the greatest acts of wisdom that God ever did is when He gave His Son. Now, what if God had said, if you have a certain amount of money, you can put in the offering, you can get saved. If you have a certain place in society, come to me and you'll get saved. If you have enough in the bank, you can get saved. But what did our wonderful, wonderful God do? In Romans 10:13, He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't matter how much money you have, how popular you are, how many people know you, what your place is in society, what you've done, but if you'll come to Jesus Christ, trusting that He shed His blood on the cross for you, that He shed that blood, paid the penalty and the punishment for your sins, arose on the third day, letting you know that He has victory, the Bible says if you'll confess that from your heart and believe it, God will save you. Before I close, I want to say to you, if you're here today, if you're listening to my voice, wherever you may be, and you want to know Jesus Christ, I know this church by talking to Joshua. I hadn't had the privilege of being with y'all so much because always being in service. But I know this church and I know this pastor. If you're listening to me today and you want to know Jesus, you want somebody to pray with you, let me tell you, you can call this church. You get in touch with this church. They'll get on the phone. They'll do whatever they can to show you in the Scriptures how you can be saved. I want you to know that if you're anywhere close to this church, or if you're in this room, if you want someone to talk to you and to pray with you, I'll be glad to do it. A preacher, we're not supposed to be close. I got my mask right here. If you want mask, I've got mine right here. I'll put my mask on. I'll be glad to take God's word and show you in God's word that He promises you that you can have eternal life. You'll find understanding when you find Him in your life. You'll find comfort when you start trusting in Him. I want to say to you, if you can hear my voice, if you're close enough to me that you can get to me, I'd be glad to take God's word. I respect this virus, but I'm not scared to death of it. I'd be glad to put a mask on. If you need me to put a mask on, I'll show you in God's word. I'd be glad to pray with you. But I want to say to you, if you're a Christian today, if you're a Christian, you served God, but all of a sudden something happened. You don't understand. Let me tell you, come trust Him. Trust Him. Trust that God's word says, all things work to the good of them that love the Lord. Brother Tom, do you want me to dismiss? Okay. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, all of you that joined this service on Facebook. We appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate you caring enough about God's word. I trust that it's been a help to you. I know that it wasn't a Valentine's love message. Well, Joshua, when he hears it, he can reprimand me for it. But that is the message that God laid on my heart. I feel for sure that it was for me, but it was for someone maybe listening on Facebook, someone in this congregation. Again, thank you for your attention and your attendance to God's house. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in word of prayer.